Ich erzähle euch doch noch, jetzt wird es doch erst hier im Kippe. There's machlokes amongst the Gaonim. What is the proper way for a person to observe the day of Rosh Hashanah? There are some Gaonim who are of the opinion that the proper way for a person to observe Rosh Hashanah is to fast in Rosh Hashanah. Not only is one permitted to fast in Rosh Hashanah, according to this opinion, but one is supposed to fast. It's a mitzvah l'sanos. You can't say it's a chuyuv to l'sanos, but there's a mitzvah l'sanos, there's a mitzvah to fast in Rosh Hashanah. And then there was another opinion in the Gaonim, and the Rishonim, which is the opinion that we accept l'halacha, that not only is it not considered to be a mitzvah to fast in Rosh Hashanah, one is not supposed to fast in Rosh Hashanah. One is supposed to have a suda like any other yontif, maybe a little bit toned down than a regular yontif, but nevertheless, one is not permitted to fast in Rosh Hashanah. What exactly is this machlokus all about? How come some Gaonim are of the opinion that one is supposed to fast in Rosh Hashanah? It's considered to be the proper, the mitzvah to do to fast in Rosh Hashanah. The chayr, this opinion is very difficult to understand because it seems to be against an explicit pasuk in Tanakh. The Tzukim described in Sefer Ezra that when some of Klal Yisrael came back at the beginning of Ayisheni, so they started to, one of the things that they did is that they celebrated the Yom Tovim. So the Tzukim described how they celebrated Rosh Hashanah, and then the Tzukim described how they celebrated Sukkot in the new Beis HaMikdash. So when the Tzukim described the celebration of that first Rosh Hashanah after when Ezra returned from Babel, so the Tzukim described that they were having a Kriyas HaTorah, and they were davening, and they were being Chayz B'Tshuva, they were having a whole, like we have, regular, they were observing Rosh Hashanah, maybe a few less Purim than we have, but they were basically doing like we do in Rosh Hashanah. So then the Tzukim described that the people were starting to cry, and they were very upset, because after all, they felt so terrible of all the Averis that they had done. After all, the Averis had caused the Churban originally, and even though they came back from the Churban, but it was such a very small return, they just felt miserable, they felt horrible about themselves in Rosh Hashanah, and everybody was just crying, hysterical, and misabled on Rosh Hashanah. So Ezra tried to give them chizuk. Ezra said to them, no, you're not supposed to be doing that. Everyone should go home now, and everyone should go eat. Everyone should go have a good meal, a good Sudas Yontif. Because the Simchas Hayom, Kadosh Hayom Adineinu, it's a holy day, and it's a joyful day, and you should be mesamech, you should go home and have a Sudas Yontif today. So the Rishonim ask, and that opinion the Gaonim, which maintains that you're supposed to fast in Rosh Hashanah, doesn't that sound like exactly what Ezra was telling them not to do? That here they were upset, they were fasting, they were crying, and Ezra said, no, Kikadosh Hayom Adineinu, that the proper observance of Rosh Hashanah requires a simcha, requires a suda. So how could the Gaonim say that you're supposed to fast in Rosh Hashanah? The Chorus against these Pesukim. So the Chorus, the answer to this question is based on the statement of the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor in the sixth paragraph of Masechet Tzachim develops for us the Yesod that there are different types of tainiyos, and a person could fast, he's doing the same action or the same inaction of not eating, but the kavanas advarim, but his intention as to what he's trying to accomplish with his tainiyos is very, very different. So the Baal HaMor suggests to Yesod that sometimes you have a tainiyos shel avelus, you have the tainiyos which is commemoration of a bad event, which is a mournful type of a tainiyos, and a tainiyos which the theme of the tainiyos is hilchos avelus. Then you have another tainiyos where the theme of the tainiyos has nothing to do with avelus, we're not mourning any terrible events, it's a tainiyos shel tshuva. So we don't want to be involved in olam hazeh, we want to get as close in ruchni, as close to HaKadosh Baruch as we can, so we don't want to have anything to do with olam hazeh, we don't want to have anything to do with tanugi olam hazeh. Let's say for example the tainiyos of Yom Kippur. So the tainiyos of Yom Kippur has nothing to do with avelus. That was when we were little kids, so somehow we think that Yom Kippur is a bad day, it means it's a sad day we connect Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Mamash nothing to do with each other. The same way you don't eat on Yom Kippur is the same way you don't eat on Tisha B'Av. That's true, that the mice is the same, or the lack of mice is the same, but the Kavanas HaDvarim is totally different, that the nature of the tainus of Tisha B'Av is the tainus of Avelos, but the nature of the tainus on Yom Kippur is nothing to do with Avelos. No terrible thing happened on Yom Kippur. It's a tainus of Tshuva, it's a totally different tainus. It's the only tainus of Tshuva that the Torah itself mandates, but it's a tainus of Tshuva, it's not a tainus of Avelos. So these are different types of tainios. So that's what was going on here in the Pesukim in Ezra. When Ezra saw that the people were fasting, when they were upset, they were crying on Rosh Hashanah, according to the opinion of the Gaonim, which maintains that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, you're even supposed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, Ezra wasn't upset that they were not eating. Ezra wasn't upset that they would have been misanah b'taras tshuva. That wasn't the problem. The Pesukim say explicitly that they were crying and they were being misabel. That was the key word. That was the problem. The Pesukim say that they were being misabel. They were mournful. They were crying for the churban. They were crying for their aveiros. They were crying for all the terrible things that had befallen Klal Yisrael. the Nebuch, they had just come back there to Israel, and it was a very schwach situation. They were still under the control of the non-Jewish government, and the Kusim was starting up for them, and a handful of Jews came back, and the situation was a bad situation in the beginning of Ayisheni. So they were feeling so bad. Hey, we did so many chatayim, they chatayim, the leader of the Atenu, we were still in a bad matzav. Even though we have a basic mikdash, things are still terrible. That type of the kindness that Rosh Hashanah was inappropriate. That's what Ezra was giving them Musa. That's what was correcting them and say, no, you want to fast the Torah's tshuva? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with fasting the Torah's tshuva. Maybe it's a good thing to fast the Torah's tshuva in Rosh Hashanah. But to fast the Torah's aveilus, to fast and to cry because you're upset, so that's out of the question. So it appears to be a machlokus within the Gaonim. What exactly was Ezra telling them? When Ezra was saying that they shouldn't fast, that they should go home and eat, so what exactly was the Kavanas HaDvarim? So according to those Rishonim who we accept the halacha, that no fasting is permissible on Rosh Hashanah, you have to have Subas Yom. So then we understand the Pesukim Kipshutam. The Pesukim were just saying, Ezra wasn't giving them a brisket Torah, Ezra was just saying to them, Tachlis, Rabbi Yisai, you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, finish, go home and eat lunch. So it doesn't matter what the kavanah of the fast was. Ezra was correcting them and saying that they're not supposed to be fasting. But according to the Gaonim, who maintained you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, so Ezra wasn't coming down on them for the fasting per se. What he was coming down on them, what he was correcting them for, was the kavanah sadvarim, that they were fasting the Torah Savelos, but the fast the Torah Tshuva, so that would have been perfectly acceptable. Ezra would have encouraged them, but that's not what they were doing. So they weren't doing, they were fasting the Torah Savelos. But in Ezra felt the necessity to correct them, to tell them they should stop fasting, and they should go eat a Simchas Yomtif. That which we're suggesting, that Tainus the Torah Savelus is absolutely out of the question in Rosh Hashanah, that everybody agrees, all the Gaonim would agree to that. So that seems to be borne out by the Mishnah, the end of Maseches Ma'akata, where the Mishnah tells us that one does not observe Avelus Bechal in Rosh Hashanah. So we know the halacha is that if a person begins Shiva before Yom Tov, so the Yom Tov comes and cancels the Avelus. So we pass here that that's true for Rosh Hashanah. We pass that even true for Yom Kippur, that if a person begins Shiva before Rosh Hashanah, so then comes Rosh Hashanah and cancels the entire Shiva. So if a person is in the middle of Shloshim before Rosh Hashanah, comes Rosh Hashanah and cancels the entire Shloshim. How much koach does Rosh Hashanah have to cancel Avelos? The Gemara, Maseches Ma'akata, and Daf Yudal in the day tells us, what koach does any Yom Tov have to cancel Avelos? So the Gemara says that since Yom Tov is a celebration of a Simcha, and it's a Simcha Shel Ravim, it's a public Simcha that relates to all of Klal Yisrael, whereas Avelos is a private affair, so Yav, a Mitzvah Shel Ravim, Yidchen, a Mitzvah Shel Yachid. So the source for the whole halacha, the whole lomdus, the hagdara of the halacha, that one does not observe Avelos in Yom Tov, and not only does one not observe Avelos in Yom Tov, but Yom Tov cancels any pre-existing Avelos. This is predicated on the concept of Simchas Yom Tov. That means that Simcha and Avelos cannot coexist. So how can that be true by Rosh Hashanah? Is it really true by Rosh Hashanah? So the Mishnah says, yeah, the Mishnah says it is true. The Rosh Hashanah is on par with the other Yom Tovim. So that's exactly what we're saying. That's the Simchas Yom Tov Shiva Rosh Hashanah. So that cancels any possibility of Avelos. So that's what Ezra was timing to them, that how could you be misadded because of Avelos? Any demonstration of Avelos, Kiyuzah and Rosh Hashanah is absolutely inappropriate, because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Simcha like the other days, like the other Yom Tovim. Whether or not you could fast the Torah's Tshuva, not demonstrating any Avelos, it's a different Shalom. That's how long this is Shalom. It's 2 days in the Gaonim. But to fast the Torah's Avelos, that's absolutely out of the question, because Avelos and Rosh Hashanah cannot coexist. So Halach and Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept the opinion of the Gaonim. We accept the other opinion of the other Gaonim, and we accept the opinion of the Rishonim, that under no circumstances is one supposed to be fasting on Rosh Hashanah. Even though the opinion of the Gaonim has basically been rejected, it does have some relevance for us, Halacha L'maisa, as well. So there are a couple of examples in the Halacha that may be relevant, maybe not given for us, L'maisa, based on that opinion, that we don't really Mikra Din Paskin like. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, when a person is benching on Shabbos, one is required to insert Ritzeh. When a person is benching on Yom Tov, one is required to insert the Yalav Yavo. Whatever a person missed, whatever a person made a mistake, and he benched without saying Ritzeh, or he benched on Yom Tov without saying Yalav Yavo, well, for that matter, on Rosh Chodesh, he's supposed to say Yalav Yavo, and he missed it. So what's that locha? So the Gemara in the seventh Berachos of Brachos draws the following distinction. But it depends. That sometimes you have to repeat the Berachos HaMazon, and sometimes you don't. So on Shabbos in Yom Tov, you have to repeat the Berachos HaMazon, because Shabbos and Yom Tov, the halacha requires of you to eat bread. In the chuyav nidina, mikra din, you have to have a suda based on lechem on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore, Birchas HaMazon HaShabbos and Yontif is not a Rishus. Birchas HaMazon HaShabbos and Yontif is built into the system, since every person has to eat bread on Shabbos and Yontif. So Mamela, every person is Mechuv to bench in Shabbos and Yontif. So Mamela, the saying of Ritzei, the saying of Yalav Yavol, is elevated to a higher level. It's Beteras Chova, and if a person missed the Yalav Yavol, missed the Ritzei, so it's Ki'ilu he didn't bench altogether, and he would be required to bench again. In contrast to Rosh Chodesh, says the Gemara, Rosh Chodesh is no Chiyuv Tipas. There's an issue of the fast in Rosh Chodesh, but there's no chiyuv to eat bread. It's a nice thing to do to have a siddur Rosh Chodesh, but it's not an absolute obligation to eat bread in Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, nobody told him that he had to wash in the first place. Nobody told him he had to eat bread in the first place. He chose to wash and bench in Rosh Chodesh. It's very nice, but he wasn't the Torah's chiyuv. So since it wasn't the Torah's chiyuv, if he left out the Yalav Yavo, so Zishka Ferlach. So we looked the other way, and we said that B'diyavid, he was still Yotzei, the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. So that's the distinction that the Gemara draws. The Shabbos and Yontif are much more chomer. The reason being, since there's an absolute chiyuv gomer to eat pas, in contrast to Rosh Chodesh, when there really is no chiyuv to eat pas. Parenthetically, the Rishonim are bothered. Who says exactly there's a chiyuv to eat pas on Shabbos and Yontif? Where exactly does that come from? So Shabbos, okay, that's Shabbos, we're pretty sure you have to eat Pas and Shabbos. Gimel Sudas, the person is Mechuyif to eat Gimel Sudas and Shabbos. So that's not so difficult. What about in Yom Tov? Is it really true a person is Mechuyif to eat Pas and Yom Tov? You really Mechuyif to be Kaveya Sudas Yom Tov al Halachem? So one day in Tosfos writes that it's not true. Tosfos writes in one place that Tosfos must have a sukkah in the second paragraph writes that you're not really Mechuyif to eat bread on Yom Tov. So what does the Gemara mean when it says Yom Tov you have to eat bread? The Gemara doesn't mean every Yom Tov. The Gemara means only two nights of Yom Tov during all the Yom Tov cycle. The night of Pesach and the night of Sukkot. The night of Pesach, you have to eat, you're not supposed to be eating bread, you have to eat lechemon, you have to eat matzah on Pesach night. And the first night of Sukkot, or the first two nights of Chutzpah, you have to eat in the Sukkot, you have to eat the lechem, you have to eat pas, because I eat dogen in the Sukkot. So that's what the Gemara meant when it says that on Yom Tov, you have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. The Inuch Inam, according to one day in Tosfos, let's say you forgot Yalav Yavo in one of Shavuos. You're not mechuyav to eat bread in Shavuos. You forgot the Yalav Yavo in the night of Shmini Atzeres. So Nishkafelos, you're not mechuyav to eat pas on Yom Tov. So when the Gemara said you have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon for Yalav Yavo on Yom Tov, the Gemara only meant two very special, unique Yom Tovim, namely the first night of Pesach and the first night of Sukkot. So Tosfos in other places writes not that way. Tosfos in Brachas and all the other Rishonim seem not that way. That there's a chiyuv gomer to eat pasa on Yom Tov. Where did the chiyuv come from? That's a good question. Is it like Shabbos? Different from Shabbos, but most of the Rishonim take the Gemara Kepshuto, that when we say Yom Tov, it's mamash the same as Shabbos. If you forgot lunch or Shavuos, you forgot Yalav Yavo, you have to repeat the benching, you forgot the night of Simchas Torah, night of Shemini Atzeres, any time it's a Yom Tov, baby Yom Ben Balayla, the halacha is that you're required to repeat the Yalav Yavo. There's only one possible difference. Kivegra has a big chiddush in one of his tshuvas. It's a very easy tshuva to find. It's the tshuva aleph. Even those who haven't read past tshuva aleph, get to that one. So the very first tshuva of Kivegra is a chiddush gadol that this halacha that you have to repeat Birchas HaMazon if you skip Yalav Yavo on Yom Tov, that's only true for men and it's not true for women. Because in Kivegra, the chiddush that women aren't obligated into the Yom Tov. They're obligated into the Shabbos, but they're not obligated into the Yom Tov. There's all stickle terror to explain why. And others disagree with Rabbi Kivegra. So that's a shayla lemaisa. What's the din? Halacha lemaisa. If a woman forgets Yalav Yavo on Yom Tov, is she supposed to repeat the Birchas HaMazon? So my Sashar Kachoy and my house goes back to Shavuos. They've got to come out a few years because I remember what happened in Washington Heights. So it's ready a couple of years since we've been out of the Heights. So it was at Shavuos in Washington Heights, and we had a few people over for a meal. And apparently that year, one of the weddings that we had gone to had been like right before Purim. So instead of giving out regular benches, they gave like these Purim benches in Megillas Esther, and then just the benching in the back. So they got Bessel Barov and the rest of the benches. So a couple of people at that Shavuos meal were using those Purim benches. So go figure that when they printed the benching for Purim, so they didn't bother giving you all the other options. They just printed an Ahal Nisan. They didn't bother telling you that sometimes you may be using this bench on Pesach. They may have to say Yalav Yavo. So two people at the meal didn't say Yalav Yavo. They said, I'll say Yalav Yavo. Whether or not they said Ahal Nisan, I don't know. They didn't answer me that question. But the Yalav Yavo they didn't say. So all of a sudden at the end of the benching, so two people said, oh, by golly, we both made the same mistake. Yeah, of course they made the same mistake. Each one was holding the same venture. So now what do you do? So it happened to have been there was a man and a woman. One man forgot and one woman forgot Yalav Yavo. So what do you do? So the man, I said, is Adi Mechuyif to bench over again. We don't pass think that place is in Sukkah, that it's only by Pesach and Sukkah. It's Shulchan Aruch. We pass it across the board. All Yom Tovim, you're Mechuyif to Shabbos. So therefore, if you miss Yalav Yom, you have to bench over again. But for the woman, I got a little bit nervous because the Kivega claims that women do not have to repeat the Yalav Yom. But others disagree with the Kivega. So I came with an eitva. I said, let the man bench and be motzi the woman, even though usually we don't like to do that, but Bechas HaMazon. But the Iker Din, that does work. Without a Mazon, the Iker Din, it works. So that was the pshat. And the man benched, and the woman answered, oh, men of each of the appropriate places. And she was Yotze Vitara, so Shemek Oina, Alatad, that Rabbi Kivega was not correct.
Not the man, would that have been
Suffolk Rabban
or
Suffolk Raisa? No, it's probably only a Suffolk Rabban, because it's probably Pasha's been the Raisi, the Yotze, but he must have the Yotze, and so I don't know, what would I tell him to do? I don't know. It was good to get drink on up. So this is true by regular yomtiv. So regular yomtiv for men, and it could be even for women against the kivega lemaisi. You have one for sure for men would be required to repeat the birchas hamazon by every yomtiv. So come the postman and say, what would that locha be when it comes to Rosh Hashanah? What a person benched on Rosh Hashanah forgot to say yalvi up, forgot to mention yom hazikaron hazeh. So what's that locha? So the pashta says that one has to repeat the birchas hamazon the same way that one forgot Yalav Yom on Shavuos, one has to repeat the birchas hamazon. One forgets Yalav Yom on Rosh Hashanah. You also have to repeat the birchas hamazon. Come a group of poskim and say no. Maybe we can have the following chiddush gadol. Even though it's true we don't paskin like the Gaonim, we don't really follow the Gaonim who say that you're not mechuyev to eat bread on Rosh Hashanah. We paskin you are mechuyev in Tzidus Yomtiv. It's the same as the Shalosh Regalim. You're mechuyev in Tzidus Yomtiv, and you're mechuyev in pas, and you're mechuyev in birchas hamazon, you're mechuyev in Yalav Yom. We paskin that way. But the Gaonim were not nobodies. They didn't become Gaonim for nothing, so they also had to learn a little bit. So those opinions of the Gaonim who held that you're really not mechuyev to eat bread, so according to them, what would the halacha be if a person decided to eat on Rosh Hashanah? The goodness of his heart, he decided to eat on Rosh Hashanah. So it's mamash like Rosh Chodesh. It's the same way on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says, since you're not mechuyev in pas, you don't repeat the birchas hamazon. So maybe on Rosh Hashanah, according to the Shittas Gaonim, you're not mechuyev in pas. So if you go ahead and you choose to eat, you would not repeat the birchas hamazon. So now we're in a little bit of a sticky situation. According to some opinions in Gaonim, to repeat the birchas hamazon, mamash be a bracha levatala. Because according to those Gaonim who say that you're not mechuyev to eat bread, so that if you're not mechuyev to eat bread, then midina, you wouldn't repeat the birchas hamazon. So now we're stuck, because on the one hand, in Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass like that. We pass in Shulchan Aruch, you have to eat bread, so that would lead us to paskin that you have to repeat the birchas hamazon. On the other hand, you have a few shittas in the background, the shittas that are lurking in the background, that say that no, that you weren't mechuyev to eat bread, so you weren't mechuyev in Yalav Yom. So not only you're not mechuyev to repeat the birchas hamazon, you're not allowed to. So bracha levatala. So therefore, many folks can say it's like sheva tas adif, that legabe repeating the birchas hamazon, so we treat it like a shtickle snake of the dina. That means we would never tell anybody lechatchil to follow the Gaonim. But after the fact, the person already benched and already goofed and missed Yalav Yom, tell him to repeat the birchas hamazon, since it may be a bracha, it is a bracha levatala according to one group of opinion to go on him. So therefore, Sheva Tasa, we will not repeat the Birch Samoa. That's generally we assume Allah, that if a person skipped Yalav Yavol in benching on Rosh Hashanah, so he doesn't have to repeat the Birch Samoa in deference to the Shittas HaGaonim. There's already precedent for this idea that we only repeat the Birch HaMazon when we're really honestly convinced 100% that you're Mechuv and Sulu. Special Shittas also, that the Me'ikar Adin, according to most of the Rishonim, if a person forgot or it say a Shalosh Shittas, he should be required to bench over again, because most of the Rishonim hold that you have to eat bread at Shalosh Shittas. So there's one sheet in Rishonim that disagrees with Menatam. Menatam, the whole Shtickle Torah, that the Pashat Tzvarim is we don't pass like a Menatam. I've spoken about this sometimes in the past, without getting into all the details, but it comes out that according to the way many Rishonim present Rabbi Natam, according to Rabbi Natam, if you hold like Rabbi Natam's cool that you don't have to eat bread for Shalosh Shittas, then you have to hold the Kiddush Mevachem Suda means pass, and therefore you can't come to any Kiddush in the morning after davening. So why those two things are totally different? There's Rabbi Yonah and Brachas that claim such a thing. So the whole Olam who assumes that you're allowed to go to a Kiddush in after davening, including myself, so by definition cannot accept Shittas Rabbi Natam. Again, leaving out all the details, why those two things should be totally different. So, but Rabbi Natam held you don't have to eat bread for the Shalishas, only for the first two Suddas. So that's true, according to Rabbi Natam. If you would ask Rabbi Natam himself, let's say a person chose to go ahead and eat bread, so you would not be permitted to repeat the Birch HaMazon if you left out Ritzay, because Suddas Shalishas, according to Rabbi Natam, it's like Rosh Chodesh, since you're not Mechuyev to eat in the first place, so the Mela, you don't have to repeat the Birch HaMazon if you left it out. So what should we do? We don't really follow Rabbi Natam, but at least we shouldn't be following Rabbi Natam. We're really supposed to be eating bread, we're supposed to be taking the commission eating bread for a Suddas Shalishas. But what if we see a guy ate bread for Suddas Shalishas like he's supposed to? He bet. benched, he forgot Ritzay. Now he remembers 5 minutes later, what should he do? So if you'd ask him at a time, he'd say, don't bench over again. If you'd ask the Rav Rishon, and they'd say, you do have to bench over again. So Shevi Al-Tasa, that even though we don't like the follower of Rabbeinu Tam in this matter, but in deference to Rabbeinu Tam, we're not going to make four extra brachas of Atal. We're not going to risk benching over again, since that would be a bracha of Atal according to Rabbeinu Tam. So that already is already accepted in Hilchos Shabbos. That already the post can quote La Locha in Hilchos Shabbos. So in, basically a correlation of that is what we're saying about Rosh Hashanah. But the meals of Rosh Hashanah, the equal meals of Rosh Hashanah, basically elects for the Shlishis of Rabbeinu Tam. And since there are some opinions that maintain, even though we don't really follow those shittas, but there are some viable shittas in Halacha that maintain that one does not, that one is not mechuyev to eat bread to suit the shlishis, so mainly you don't have to repeat the benching. Who are the Nami? Since there are some viable shittas that maintain you don't have to eat bread for any of the meals in Rosh Hashanah, so who are the Nami? We would not repeat the benching either.
I don't say the same thing by
Shulah. I mean that one day in Tisus?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was already Nilchem Halacha. It wasn't quoted B'chlam. So the Rebbeinu Tam was quoted the Halacha. In Shulchan Aruch, which is the Shlish, the person is really stuck, it can no longer be in a time. But that sheet, Tosfos, we assume, is outright not accepted. There is another example where the sheet of Sagaonim plays out halach l'maisa for us in the following sense. The halach is that in the regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, so clearly one is not permitted to be misana, one is not permitted to fast. And the Rishami tells us not only is one not supposed to fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one isn't even supposed to fast half the day on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim that a person is supposed to eat pas shachar, is supposed to eat breakfast in the morning. So the Gemara says, what time are you supposed to eat breakfast in the morning? So the Gemara gives you a whole schedule. So some people would eat in the beginning of the day, some people were busy in the beginning of the day, they eat a little bit later, a little later, a little bit later. So the Gemara says, until Chatzaris you can eat breakfast. After Chatzaris, it's not breakfast anymore. The concept of brunch didn't exist in the days of Chazal. So after Chatzaris, that's not already, that's not breakfast anymore. The Gemara says, a person goes out and eats his Pashachris at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's like throwing a stone into an empty barrel or something. The Gemara says, it's not going to accomplish, it's not going to be breakfast. I don't know if it's up to the nutritionist as to what that means. But actually, the Gemara says, the Pashachris has to be in Pashachris. So it's based on that that Yishalmi said that if a person goes out and spends the first half of the day and shops and yet is not eating, so if he eats quote-unquote breakfast or he eats lunch at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so he basically fasted for the day. That means he already fasted over the day, so it's already considered to be like a mixus of a fast. It's not exactly the same. It's not mamash like fasting the whole day, but it's also, Yishalmi says that one is not supposed to go past Chatzos and Shabbos and Yom Tov without eating. On a regular Shabbos, there may be two problems involved. On a regular Shabbos, so there's a problem of fasting until Chatzos, that's one problem. But there may be another problem. The simple reading of the Rambam is that each of the Gimel Sudas of Shabbos has a special Zman, which it's designated to. So the first Suda is the Sudas HaLayla, the second Suda is the Sudas HaBoka, the Rambam writes, the Sudas Shacharis, and the third Suda is the Sudas Mincha, the Suda of the afternoon. So the simple reading of the Rambam is that you have to eat each of the Sudas at the appropriate time. So Sudas HaLayla has to be by night, Sudas HaBoka has to be by Boker, and Sudas Tzaraim, the Suda of the Mincha, has to be at the Zman of Mincha, has to be the second half of the day. So if that's true, so the Rambam is telling us a chish, and not only is a person mechuyev to eat three meals on Shabbos, but the three meals have to be eaten at the appropriate time, so it would come out as follows, that if a person eats his Suda's Boker, not the Boker anymore, it's ready after Chatzos. Chatzos is always the cutoff point, what's called the Boker. So if a person comes home from Shul and doesn't eat his Suda's Shachris, doesn't eat his lunch, we call today lunch until after Chatzos, so according to the Rambam, you're losing out that mitzvah, you're losing out that kiyum of having a Suda's Boker. So others don't quote this. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this Rambam. Others never heard of this Rambam. But the simple reading of the Rambam, Rabbi Yerucha Shulchan already pointed out, the simple reading of the Rambam is that this is true. So for this time of year, it's not such a problem. This time of year, Chatzos is night, 10 to 1 or so. Whatever time it is at night is what it is in the daytime. So Chatzos is 10 to 1, so unless you really, really schlep out, so most people can get home by 10 to 1 and ready to start lunch. But the problem is that not all that long they're going to change the clock. And Chatzos is going to start to be about 11:40. 11:40, very possible some shuls don't get home. People don't get home until after 11:40. So those who follow the shittas of Rambam would have a problem with that. Those who follow the shittas of Rambam would have to finish davening in enough time to get home to not just to make kiddush. You'd have to get home to wash. You'd have to get home to start your suda. You can eat shulot after chatzos. That's okay. You can eat your dessert after chatzos. You can eat the gefilt fish after chatzos. But the challah, which is the ikar pas, the ikar suda Shabbos, would have to be eaten before chatzos. That's according to those who follow the Rambam. Those who don't follow this Rambam, those who just follow the simple shot. There is no halacha that the second suda has to daf could be bebok. As long as any time of the day, but they're still concerned with the Yerushalmi. They're still concerned with the problem of fasting past Chatzos. So the problem with fasting past Kotel, you can solve it other ways. You can make Kiddush. I'm not advocating Kiddush clubs. I mean, you have to finish Musaf by then. But so you have a Kiddush. So you finish Davi 11:30, you have a Kiddush 11:35, so you're home free. Then you don't get home till 1 o'clock, so that's fine. That's no problem, according to the other poskim. The tainus problem you solve by having Kiddush, so that's okay if you solve the problem of tainus. The Suda Shabbos should be at Suda Shabbos at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This is a machlokis. This is a big machlokis. Is there such a halacha or not? Most people aren't so machlokis about this, and why are you a lot of people machlokis about this? But most places people aren't so machlokis about this. Now, my offeruf was Parshas Vayeshev. It's right smack in the middle, probably the earliest, so 11:40 or so, and my offeruf was in the RJC. My parents davened, so you know davening could potentially schlep out there a little bit. So I knew that all my friends were taking me off, and they were going to be nervous wrecks about this. So I said to them, okay, listen guys, relax, I'm going to take care of it. I said, I knew davening was going to end about 11:30, and by the time everyone would get downstairs to make Kiddush, and there wasn't going to be anywhere near the ballpark, so I knew my 20 guys or so who were going to be mafkin in this, so we got 20 challah rolls, and I left them in the kitchen downstairs, in the shul, those in the lab, the RJC, you'll appreciate it. I left them in the kitchen, I told them, listen guys, it's as soon as Enkel Akeduka, whatever it is, whatever it says 11:30 in your watch, so just downstairs, and there'll be a bottle of grape juice, and everyone can wash, and then everyone can join the rest of the Kiddush, and everyone there. So there were 21 rolls there, if I'm not mistaken, possibly 20 for my 20 friends, and one for the chassan himself. So I also darted down, I waited till after done alone, but I also darted down, so I made Kiddush for them, we all washed. Then I came back upstairs to collect all my mazel tovs, and then we had the rest, then we had the Kiddush for the Siddur Shabbos. Anyway, so... That was the last Shabbos I drove my parents crazy over. So from then on, I'm continuing to still drive my wife crazy about this stuff. That's what was Zeicha that. So when we lived in the Heights, so we used to finish davening about 10:30 or so. So I used to always, before my kids were born, I'd always learn Shabbos morning from 10:30 to 11:30. 11:30 was lunch. That was it. So 11:40 was the earliest chatzot, so 11:30 was lunch. And so next, I camp. That was the way I in camp. Minute cut them. Anyway. So get back to the story. So on a regular Shabbos, there are two potential problems. There's the problem which is a real problem to everybody, a fasting till chatzos, which is a problem baby Shabbos, baby Yom Tov. And the second problem, which is according to some poskim, is a problem, but that would only be by Shabbos. The second problem wouldn't be by Yom Tov. There's no din you have to eat the Suda Shavuos before chatzos, because there's no din of Gimel Sudas on Shavuos. There's only a din of Sudas Laila and Sudas Hayom. So the Sudas Hayom, even the Rambam would agree, doesn't necessarily have to be Boker. It's only in Shabbos when there are Gimel Sudas that the Rambam insists that the second Suda has to be Dafka Boker. That's why in Yom Tov I don't drive anybody crazy on saying Shavuos, so we'll... Let's come up from Davi. So I tried to put the T on this. I said, it's one thing and it spills on a blue one. It spills on a white one, it's still bad. So the... On Shavuos, there's not a problem. So Shavuos, you come home from Shul 7 o'clock, you can make Kiddush and go to sleep till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can eat lunch then, even L'chatchila, according to the Rambam. Because the Tainus you've solved and the Sudas Hayom doesn't necessarily have to be Baboker. So now the question is, where does this place us when it comes to Rosh Hashanah? So L'chora, let's take first a regular Rosh Hashanah, not Shechalias B'Shabbos, then a regular Rosh Hashanah. And then Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbos. So regular Rosh Hashanah, so we're not concerned with the Gimel Sudas issue, so the Sudas Yom Tov can be even L'chatchila after Chatzos, but L'chora we're concerned with the Tainus aspect. So what's the halacha? Yeah, how does one get around this problem? How do you get around the issue of Tainus and Rosh Hashanah if the davening is going to schlep out? If you go to a davening that ends before Chatzos, you start at 6 in the morning, down by Sikin, you end by 12. Okay, no problem. You go home, you make Kiddush and Shoy. But most people who aren't doing that, people are coming home from Shul and Rosh Hashanah 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, way after Chatzos. So what happened to the din of the Issa Tainus? So the post can tell us that this is not considered to be a problem. Why is that? Because even though we don't like to rely on the opinion of the Onim, we try to eat on Rosh Hashanah, we have Sudas on Rosh Hashanah, we have Simchas Yom Tov on Rosh Hashanah, but there was a viable Shittin Ga'onim that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So Lagabe, this din, or Chumrah, whatever the nature of this Isser is, of not fasting until Chatzos on the Shabbos and Yom Tov, so Lagabe, this more callous, so this is not an Issa Gomor in the sense of like fasting Mamish the whole day. Lagabe, the din of eating before Chatzos on the regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, we rely on the Shittin Ga'onim. I mean, the Minhag HaOlam is Lahoka, like the Gaonim, vis-a-vis the Din of Chatzos. So therefore, most people have this practice, most shuls have this practice, the people in fact do not eat before Chatzos. And so what? So they're fasting. So Nishkefrelach, they're not going to fast the whole day. They're only going to fast till 2:30 in the afternoon. So legabe that isra of not eating before chatzal. So yesh lismoch al shitas nagaonim. That's what many places have the custom. There are many yeshivas, especially the yeshivas, that have the meaning of solving the whole problem. How they do it? They eat before chatzal. So how they do that? They eat after kriyas haTorah, before tkiyas shofar. How can they eat before tkiyas shofar? So the Iker is, din is really all that eat before the Kishof. You're not allowed to eat before the Kishof, like you're not allowed to eat before any other mitzvah. So, like not eating before Meir. Like the same way you're not allowed to eat before Meir, you're not allowed to eat before the Kishof. So sometimes people think, Kishof, Kriyas, Megillah, those mitzvahs, some of it is Allah, Moshe, you're not allowed to eat before. It's not much the same as not eating before Kriyashma. So not eating before Kriyashma of Meir, so the post can say, if it's a Derech Arai, if it's a very small amount of food, so then it's Mutta. We eat a little bit more Mekel on that, even on real supper, we will make on in Kavula, different coolers that many of us follow. But the ikra din to eat just a snack before doing a mitzvah, that would be okay. To have a mamash, a whole suda, sit down, kiyad a melech, that would be a problem. But so less than a kibbutz, the folks can say, that would be all right. So the ikra din, if one wants to eat less than a kibbutz from his own house before the kiyah shofar, so technically speaking, that would be okay. So that's what many folks can say. That's what the meeting in yeshivas in Lithuania was, already for Dura Duras. The reason why that meeting developed was because the davening was so long. We used to daven until 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so people's mamash, they forgot it was Hashem, they thought it was Yom Kippur. So to make it a little bit easier on the bachurim, so they would institute the eating. It's usually l'shitasim. The yeshivas l'shitasim, the shuls l'shitasim. The yeshivas have very, very long davening Rosh Hashanah. So the bachurim are hungry, so they let them eat before Tekiyah Shofar. The shuls, the davening is not so long, so it ends at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so everyone's not so hungry. So the male, they usually don't have kiddushes. If you go to the best of both worlds, you have to go to a shul that ends at 1 and still has a kiddush. That's already a mila. If you assume that drinking water is okay before davening, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that you can drink water before davening, but not everyone agrees. The Rambam doesn't agree to that. The Rambam holds you're not supposed to drink water, unless you need the water to say a shiur, unless you need the water to talk. So then the Tos can say that's not called drinking, that's just called the Derech HaFuah, that would be okay. So again, most places are knowing that one is permitted to fast Pesach, Chatzos, and Rosh Hashanah, that we're not so concerned, and the reason why we're not so concerned is because the whole thing of not fasting Pesach, Chatzos is not so partial anyway, and it's a gom and mamish in the same extent as fasting itself. So kedayim ha'ga'on l'smoch aleim l'gabi disalochem. So now the question becomes, what about when you have a Rosh Hashanah Shechav Yisrael Shabbos? Does this change anything in the equation? So let's say this year, bolin l'toiva, Rosh Hashanah Shechav Yisrael Shabbos. So what is that law? Do we have a right to be Megillah and Rosh Hashanah Shechalas Kishabbos as well? And maybe we should split and say that Legabi Rosh Hashanah so willing to be Megillah. But Legabi Shabbos, forget about Rosh Hashanah. Even if it wouldn't be Rosh Hashanah the Shabbos, there's a Chiv of Sud the Shabbos, there's an Isra of Tainus and Shabbos. So that's the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah holds that one is required to make sure that one would eat before Chatzos when you have the Rosh Hashanah Shechalas Kishabbos. How do you solve that problem? So one answer is to start davening a little bit earlier when Rosh Hashanah Shechalas Kishabbos. Time is working in your favor because you don't have to kiyah shofar also, so davening anyway is about a half hour shorter. So if you start a little bit earlier and you move things along a little bit, so then you may get there on time. So that's what some places do. They really, really try hard to be makbid, at least when Rosh Hashanah Shechalas Kishabbos, to actually finish the davening before Chatzos to let people go home. Or maybe you can follow the minhag of having a kiddush before Musaf, and it's even a little bit more calm. There's no shofar anyway, so it's like any other problem of having a kiddush. So it's a sanctioned kiddush club. No, the only Shabbos at the year you can have a kiddush club, assuming that everybody comes, is on Rosh Hashanah Shechalas B'Shabbos, because you're trying to do it with Shema. It's the Mishnah Berurah's kiddush club. You're trying to solve the problem of not fasting Pesach itself. The only problem is if you really hold like the Erech HaShulchan, you have to eat through the Shabbos, so then you have to serve bread at this kiddush club, as it really becomes the whole to do. So somebody told me the top they were in a certain yeshiva, but that's what they did, that they would mount when Rosh Hashanah Shechalas B'Shabbos, so right after Kriyas HaTorah, before Yikum Perkun, they had a break, and everyone went downstairs, and they mamish washed the kiddush, and they washed, and they could fill the fish, and then they continued davening after. It's not crazy, it's mamish, that's the Pesach in Mishnah Berurah.
Places where they go on Shabbos, in Kohen Gadol, they must have that.
Look, they shouldn't have wine. They're gorgeous. Yeah, I think so. So those who follow the Pesach of Mishnah Berurah, so you have to arrange the schedule in such a way. I remember, I wasn't there actually, but I heard the story afterwards that Okay. One year NYU was Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos, and they used to try to be makpid for this, to try to finish it in enough time. So, well, apparently they were running, I don't know, the Baal Shachas was schlepping out a little bit, and they realized that that's going to be a problem. So they came to Rav Shech, they asked him, so what should we cut? What's the least important part of the davening to cut? So Rav Shech said, you should cut out Hidini, let's take Hidini for it's not important. So everyone likes Hidini. The Chazorim, that's the highlight of the entire year is Hidini. How can you cut out Hidini? So no, okay, so they said, okay, so don't cut out Hidini. So what are you going to cut out? Mach is going to show, what are you going to cut out exactly? Yeah. They have to figure out an answer what to cut. I remember when I was in Kerem Yavne, so it was Rosh Hashanah was on Friday, Thursday and Friday, and so some folks can say you should try to cut the davening a little bit also on Friday because you want some of Makbid, you shouldn't start the Shabbos Yom Tov, some of Chaminchas, so instead of ending at 3 o'clock, they want to end at 2:30. So they have Kiddush in Kerem Yavne. So the Rosh Yeshiva invited me to come to Kiddush to his house, so right before Tekiah, so I was in his house. And trying to figure out how to pasuk with the davening a little bit. So the place that comes into the Rosh Yeshiva, he says, you know, Rubenstein knows what Kerem Yavne, we know him, the personality. So he says, you know, Tzichim Dalek Nashu, we have to cut down on something in the davening, got to cut this, make it short a little bit. So Rosh Yeshiva was thinking. So those who remember in Kerem Yavne, Rosh Yeshiva used to always say, give Musa right foot to Kir Shofar. Give us, fire and brimstone Musa, 15 minutes foot to Kir Shofar. So he said, said the leg of Musar. No shavim ben kavachol. No one's listening anyway. So those who follow the Pesach of the Shemurah have to really coordinate the schedule this year. So perhaps one is not mechuyav to follow this Pesach of the Mishtaburah. So this was a Pesach that changed in Riverdale over the years. And in the old days, in Israel, in the Friday Gedarius, so Rabbi Willi used to be machbar in this. And the Shaykh Chas B'Shabbos, the Shitosa, who was very machbar in Chatzos, used to be machbar, everyone's got to get home to be able to wash before Chatzos. And then the later years, he backed out against the Pesach of the Mishtaburah. The kids, the reason why he backed out was based on the following Yisrael, that there's a whole discussion, let's talk about this a little bit in the past, when you have 2 days of Kedushas Hayom that coincide, the Shabbos and the Yom Tov, or Shabbos and the Rosh Chodesh, or something, two different Kedushas Hayoms. So in Lomdus, what's the nature of the new entity of Kedushas Hayom? Do you say that when Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos coincide, so there are two distinct Kedushas Hayom? There's the Shabbos and there's the Rosh Hashanah. It happened to be on the same day on the calendar. Do you say no, that whenever you have two Yom Tovim, or two Kedushas Hayom to coincide, it's a new entity called Kedushas Shabbos L'Rosh Chodesh. It takes on a whole essence in and of itself. It's a new, brand new Kedushas Hayom. So the Ursameach claims, based on somewhat of a complicated riot from the Gemara Masechet Zvachim in terms of Kabbalas, in terms of Musaf, basically, without getting into all the details, Ursameach develops for Yisod, that, let's say, when you have a Yom Tov and a Shabbos coinciding together, so the Korban Musaf that's brought on Shabbos is not a Shabbos Tikka Korban. It has the status of a Yom Tov Tikka Korban, because it's a new day, that every Korban that you bring on that day, every tefillah that you say on that day, is not a Shabbos, not two categories, Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it's Shabbos / Yom Tov. It's a new compound Kedusha called Shabbos / Yom Tov. But that does not mean as Ladina in terms of Korban Musaf. The Korban Musaf of a Shabbos is a different status in Aloch than a Korban Musaf of a Yom Tov. So the Yosemite claims, based on the Gemara Masechet Zvachim, that even though I'm bringing the Sheikh Vosim, what I'm bringing is the Torah of Yom Shabbos Sheikh Vosim, but up the Aloch it's still treated as a Musaf Korban. That's what I always say, that according to that Shetukah Torah, the Yosemite, so the meaning that many Chazanim have, when they down for the Yom and Shabbos and Yom Tov, so they'll switch the Nigin back and forth. When they get to the Yom Shabbos, they'll switch back to the Shabbos Nusach. Then they get to V'chodesh Arisha, V'chodesh Ashri or something, so they'll switch back to the Yom Tov. You can always tell a good experienced Chazan. The guys are not the amateur, so they can never do it. They funk and they end up, the whole thing is a balagat. But the good Chazan are able to switch back and forth quickly. Then you have to switch back to Yisbechu and back to Lakenim, so that becomes already really fancy schmancy. So I thought that the whole meaning of switching back and forth is wrong. I thought that it's against the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that it's not a Shabbos Yom Tov Korban and a Musa and a Yom Tov Korban. It's one Korban. It's one Kedushas Hayom called Shabbos Yom Tov. So again, the Nigin doesn't matter. It's not Machin anyway. I'm not going to I never stopped. Don't tell the Balik Feel that. Whatever they want to do in Shabbos, they can do. But in terms of pure Lombus, I thought that the Nigin is not correct. I thought that the more correct thing to do is to stick to the Nusach of Yom Tov for all the Sukkiyah Korbanos, because it's one new Kedushas Hayom. So anyway, that's the Yisod Yosemech develops. So the Lord thought based on that Yosemech, which is really basically quoting the Gemara, the end of Zvachim, that basically says that Yisod. So we thought that when you have a Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah together, so it's not that you have a Chiyah Sud Shabbos and you have a Chiyah Sud Rosh Hashanah. It's a new called Shabbos last Rosh Hashanah. The Gaonim who say that you're allowed to fast at Rosh Hashanah, they hold you allowed to fast even Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos, is an opinion the Torah quotes, because it's not really Shabbos. I mean, it's Shabbos, they have malachas, obviously. Obviously, you can't say, well, it's Rosh Hashanah, therefore we're allowed to cook. Obviously, I know the chumas of Shabbos in the realm of Lavin, but in the realm of Mitzvah's essay, so it's a new condition Sayyam, and that new condition Sayyam, according to the Gaonim, is not Mechayev Suda. So even though we don't follow the Gaonim on a regular Rosh Hashanah either, but we do follow the Gaonim with Gabi Chatzos. I mean, the whole stock, our whole minhag and any other Rosh Hashanah is to rely on the Gaonim vis-a-vis Chatzos. So the same way we rely on the Gaonim vis-a-vis Chatzos and Rosh Hashanah Chalios B'chol, so we can rely on the same Gaonim with Gabi Rosh Hashanah Chalios B'Shabbos. So therefore, in the later years, the minhag in Riverdale changed, and it became, forget this, Mr. Bura, and it's a little claim to Adam Haril who said this, it's the earliest source of that sense that she showed, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos, so one is not mechuyav to be machbid to necessarily make Kiddush, or to make the Suda, whatever the case, until Chatzos. So Chol Panim, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Shchalos B'chol, so meeker than everybody is Me'ekil, except for the yeshivas that eat early, but that's not because they want to be so machbid about that, let's just give the Pachim a little bit of a koyach, but meeker than we assume Lakula on that. And if Hashanah Shchalos B'Shabbos, that would be a machlokes to Mishnah Berurah and others. So those who follow the Pesachim and the Mishnah Berurah would insist on finishing the Daven early. What do they do here? They rush it up here or no? No. Some or not. I think most places just Daven Kedak, whatever happens, happens. But those who are not for the Mishnah Berurah would insist on finishing davening early this Rosh Hashanah, the first day. And those who follow the Sahaz of Rabbi Willing and others, that the din is equal. Bein Rosh Hashanah Shchalos B'chol, Bein Rosh Hashanah Shchalos B'Shabbos.
Yeah, really? Yeah, it is.